Welcome to episode 79 of the Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, wars, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Iron Agenda, the podcast brought to you by Strakov, a caster who steals all of his spells and doesn't know his own first name. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Jason.
I'm Tim.
Did you hear that he was nerfed already?
What?
What?
There's a thread. Apparently in the preview his name was Victor, and in the book his name is Oleg.
Ooh. Well then.
So they're speculating that one of them is his middle name.
Oleg Victor. Victor Oleg. Alpha Tango.
Wow.
Did I say who it was? I'm Josh if I didn't.
Yes,
I think you did.
I think so. I think people know by now.
Some more. They could be a first time.
It's more habitual than anything else.
Did you just call me a bitch?
Yes. What up now, dog?
So, Josh.
Yes.
Is there cinema to be talked about?
There is, but I think it's all Tim's. Tim, you had something in mind.
I had two, actually. Last night I got home. My wife and I were out, and we got home. It was like 10:30, and I turned on.
Well, late night for you and your wife.
Yeah. Well,
it's actually 11:30 if you want to do the switch.
Yeah,
because we're actually an hour ahead.
That
so, turn on Sci-Fi Channel, and there's this movie called Dino Croc on.
Oh, yeah.
It was bad. Really bad.
What was it about?
It's about like a prehistoric crocodile, raptor, T-Rex kind of hybrid thing, and really bad CGI and really bad acting.
Did anybody say it was a clever girl?
No.
Clever girl.
Shoot her!
And what's it called?
Dino Croc.
Anybody we'd recognize in it?
Absolutely not.
Second movie?
Second movie, it actually comes out Tuesday, but I saw it when it was in the movie theaters. Ninja Assassin comes out on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was actually a really cool action movie.
Is that Salty Dog Cinema?
It was fun, and it definitely takes like all your ninja stereotypes in a movie.
Are you saying we're talking about stuff that's actually decent on the show?
We've sort of done it before a little bit, but usually, you know, you want it to be.
I enjoyed it, but I expect like.
Yeah.
If you were to watch it, you'd probably put it in a Salty Dog Cinema category.
Actually,
that's why.
Yeah. Well, now that I think about it, I actually did watch a bad movie last night. It completely slipped my mind, probably because it was so horrible. It's called The Telling. It stars a few of the girls next door from that Playboy Hugh Hefner reality show. It was like the previous set of girls. And it's like a horror. It's a bad horror movie. So check it out, The Telling. It's not good.
Check it out. It's horrible.
I like the girls next door.
Oh, yeah. As long as their mouths aren't moving.
Bridget. She's smart. She has like
Bridget was the best.
Three or four different degrees.
Yeah. And she's doing bad horror movies. So how'd that work out for her?
She also had her own show where she went to different beaches
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice to look at.
On to gaming, though. Flanzer, you went to a tournament yesterday?
I did.
Something special about that tournament?
Unfortunately, it's a team tournament. I hate team tournaments. I just can't stand when there's other people making decisions for my side of the table.
So you went
I don't
and...
think the same. Like, even though I was playing with someone who I think is a good player, we just don't think alike. He's like, it was hard to play with you because... Like, the way, like, I play kind of like a stop-and-go kind of try to get something unexpected off kind of way. And he plays kind of like a more straightforward, just, like, try to grind it out style. So it was kind of difficult for us to work together. It was especially difficult because we created the army with a lot of synergy. So kind of was interesting. But it was a fun time, unfortunately, I only got to play two games. There's only 7 teams there, which is 14 people, so it wasn't you know, a great turnout. But it's still, you know, when you have team tournaments, you're gonna have less teams. So we had 7 teams, and
did anybody wind up getting paired with himself for a team, or was there enough for two?
Oh, you're right. There was 13 people because Xanthom played by himself. It was really fun. So during the bye, we went out and got some Chinese food, and then we came back, and I was fortunate to see my personal first sighting of Strakov on the table. Let me say that the first thing I saw him do was pop his feet, the Great Bears charge across the table and kill Raven. So it was pretty awesome. It's hard to hide from him, and I like that. He was playing alongside a Harbinger player. They actually had like the same exact list. It was really weird. They both brought a Warcaster. They both brought their Warcaster attachments. They both bought full units of Cav. They both brought a Dragoon of some sort, the Dracoon and then Gravis. They both brought support solos. One brought mercenary solos. One brought Eris and one brought the Piper. They both brought... I forgot, they brought another solo of their own faction, they each did, and then they each brought a heavy jack, and I'm pretty sure that was their list. It was like really weird. It was like the exact, they each brought their character unit. So it was really weird.
Roven was on the table?
I don't know why, but Rovan was. I asked him, I go, why is, you know, he had good reasoning for a lot of things. He was toughing his Cav and martyrdom and no knockdown from Gravis. So it was kind of like an interesting combo, trying to keep the Cav alive. And it worked. And I was like, well, then why was Rovan in your list? He didn't really have a good reason. So kind of depressed about that, but it was really cool to see Strakov do his thing. They ended up losing the game, but he only because they couldn't roll and they couldn't roll it out very well. And you know, that happens. So then,
that's kind of cool though, that that one team lost essentially half their, you know, force, and the other person was still able to pull out the win. That's kind of cool.
I mean, I was talking to him afterwards. He's like, well, all she needed to do was get up there and pop her feet and do some damage. And she did that already. So they weren't really too mad at losing her. They lost the heavy that was, he only had one Jack with her. So it wasn't the biggest of losses. And it was a Manticore. So it was the cheapest possible heavy they could have had. So, it was definitely interesting. We ended up winning. We played, Grimm and Balder. We had 27 models. And one of the players there was running 30 Mechanothralls, which is only 15 points. So he ran more Mechanothralls than we had entire models.
Was that Stu?
Yes, it was Stu.
He didn't have Brute Thralls to go with him?
He did. So he technically had more Mechanothralls.
Amanda told me he was running his Oh Shit Skeletons list.
It wasn't really Oh Shit Skeletons, but it was pretty close. So they had more Mechanothralls than we had army. So that was pretty interesting. But I ran Grimm, Earthborn, Axer Impaler, Champs with the Hero, and Minion of Stone Scribes in UA. And my buddy brought Balder, Megalith, World Warden, Druids plus UA, Overseer, Lord of the Feast. And, it was very clean. Balder's feat affects all friendly models, so all of my guys got cover. It also stops them from pathfinding. My feat obviously affects the enemy with -3 defense, -3 speed, no special attacks, so that helps too. Rush says friendly target, friendly war beast. So I could cast on his, which I ended up casting on Megalith. And then, and Solid Ground affects all friendly models as well. So we had, you know, a lot of things that were just kind of friendly in there. And, I was like, my Earth at the end, to deliver the killing blow, I need +2 inches of movement with my Earthborn. I was like, will you please put a forest on top of my Earthborn? He was like, I will. And I was like, oh, +2 inches of movement. And then he charged and ate Epic Warlock. My Earthborn killed. We had the first round, so I played 2 games. He killed all 4 Warcasters. But it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun, and Druids are really dumb because they just pulled things. Like, there was this one time when we needed, like, against Raven.
They were basically feeding your trolls.
Yeah, come they were. Here. They were. It was a fun time.
Sweet.
Sweet indeed.
Josh?
All right, see, we have an email, right?
Yeah. Oh, we have an announcement first.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
What's the announcement?
I switched to a different podcast.
Oh, it's right for a day.
Yay,
you run Fear the Boot.
Yay, our show's going to get better.
Yeah, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, no, the guys at Fear the Boot, they're my role-playing group, the group that I role-play with on Sundays after we record here. And they had me on last week to talk about war games and role-playing games. It was episode 184. If you go to their website, which is feartheboot.com, you can find it. And if you're interested in that sort of thing, you can listen. If you're just a war gamer, it's probably not necessarily going to be entertaining for you unless you just like listening to guys BS.
Well, that particular episode might be of interest, though, I think.
Yeah, that's true. We did talk about the great game you ran.
That's right, my AK game.
Yep, so Josh got some loving by the side as well. So check it out, www.feartheboot.com. Also, a host on that show is Pat, who used to be here with us. So
there you go. I miss Pat's lovely voice. It was very rich.
Hey, what about this crazy email? Who's got it?
It's not crazy. I've got it. It's from...
Wacky.
From...
Eric?
Eric says that he's an avid listener and wanted to know some advice for a tournament this weekend. Now, the weekend is already over, but we thought we had some interesting content and maybe a caster that you don't really hear too much about now because of the way that they changed.
Just a caster? Is not three casters?
It is three casters.
It depends when you're talking.
It does. He wanted to have help with a competitive Witch Coven list, and he wanted to run a little Jack Heavy. So, he says local meta has lots of Signar, Cawdor, and,
Helldivers.
Some mercs that run, pretty jack heavy. So, what are you guys thinking?
Helldivers.
Well, I've only played the Coven once in Mark II, and, I can't remember what I was playing. I think it was Retribution or something. It was a pretty even match, and he wore me down. But I think in this particular situation, what he's talking about, I think the Coven has a lot going for him for what he wants. You know, they can easily handle a lot of jacks. They've got all the focus in the world to deal with. If you take a Seether or a Deathjack that's even more focused on the table, why not? That's always fun. I think you can take almost any Bone Jacks with them and do great. They're going to need a couple, or, you know, two or three Arc Nodes. Helldivers would work great.
Stalkers, too.
Stalkers, I was about to say. I was going to recommend, like, three Stalkers because I love them so much. And since you double the control area for allocation, that's 36 inches from the Egregore. You can cover the entire table with your Stalkers.
There you go.
And that is awesome.
I also think that, you know, they still have a Liquidation.
They do, so, which is also great.
I was going to say, I think that Bane Thralls are great because of the Dark Shroud, especially teaming up with a Heavy. That's going to be some pretty good damage output. But on top of that, you can have another unit and also Stealth it.
This is one caster, one of two, I think, that has Occultation. I think Gorshade has it. One of the Gorshades.
And Strakoff has it.
Strakoff has it. Well, you take yourself some Satixis with a Sea Witch, you throw a little Occultation on them, and they'll go wherever you want.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean,
I don't like that.
You don't have to worry about you don't have to worry about the Winter Guard shooting you and then going defense 16.
Keep in mind, though,
sprays.
That is true too.
If he has a lot of Signar opponents, they have a few things that can ignore the stealth. So
you can't
bank on it as a impenetrable defense.
No.
But you know what? If it is Satixis, they're still defense 16, so he's gonna need tens to hit with gun mages.
Yep.
Pretty reliable. And also the gun mages at best are range 14, that's a 20-inch threat range with their walk. And those Satixis are speed 7. They can, I mean, after that one round of shooting, those guys are pretty much engaged.
Do they have Force Barrier?
They do.
Yes, they do.
So then the AoEs from Kador and stuff?
Not even a problem.
Yep. Another thing I really like about the Coven is that they have a couple spells that let you, or a few spells that really give you a lot of maneuverability. You have Curse of Shadows, which not only drops the armor on the enemy, but allows you to move through them without taking free strikes. So
great on a jack.
Yeah, absolutely.
Send your front line past them, and your second line tears into them.
Or like a real thick unit, or pretty strong, maybe like IFP, or even like a unit of Man of War.
Something that's shield walled that you can get past really easily.
Sure, Stormblade, something that you don't want to, they're going to be kind of in your face, and you may not have to deal with them.
My Bone Jack just ran through your lines, and now it's facing your caster, now what?
You can send a front line through those guys, and then attack them with the second wave on the same turn, which can sometimes be to your benefit.
Did you talk about a Siren being helpful, too?
I didn't think about the Siren, but yeah, that's even more focus on the table.
Well, because then it gives your Bone Jack the free run, so they don't have, then they can keep their 9 for three Stygian Abysses.
Speaking of Stygian Abysses, they did lose their, magic game-ending combo for Mark 1.
It's still not bad, though. It's still top 12.
Yeah.
And it Shadowbinds on the crit, which huge.
Which lets whatever else you want kill.
And they still get one free boost.
And New Perfect Conjunction may be better in some situations because it reduces all their spell costs by 1. That means it's like a, 2-point Ghost Walks, 1-point Infernal Machine. That's huge.
Well, and you can keep them all in base-to-base with the Egregore now.
Yeah. Because of the new Last Sight rules.
Right. You could do it before in Mark 1, but they were had to be knocked down. But now it's just, you rarely have a reason to separate them from the Egregore.
Yep. So, blast damage.
Yep. That's true. Additionally, they have Veil of Mist, which is a little AoE you put out and allows you to move through models. You can still take free strikes and whatnot, but it's even more maneuverability to send your guys through the enemy.
And it gets them Pathfinders.
Do they still have the ring that keeps you?
No, they lost, what was that called?
I don't even remember.
It was the big dome that doesn't exist anymore.
Battle Dome.
We'll call it Battle Dome.
Biodome.
I can't really.
Pauly Shore's in it. That's
can't believe I forgot
there.
What it's called.
So you took a Pow 10 every turn?
Oh. What is that called?
Annoyance damage icon.
It's kind of annoying me too.
And additionally, they have Ghost Walk, which is, a tried and true crick spell. It's awesome, great.
No, but it's even better now because it gives you ghostly so you can charge.
Which is so cool.
It is a foil to Baldur's Feet too.
It is.
Because it gives you ghostly.
So in other words, the tactic you're working on here is basically go through your opponent's army, like Mark 1 Legion, and just kill their Warlock.
They do it really well. Really, there's not much you can take that you shouldn't take with the Coven or that wouldn't work well. I mean, they work well with pretty much whatever you want.
I'm a big fan of just trying to control the board, Your ability to cast spells 3 times per turn at different points is really powerful because if I need a spell now and then a spell to cover up later, like pretend I need to Infernal Machine. And then you can Infernal three different jacks.
You can do even more on that if you want to get stupid. If you have the Death Jack and a Scarlock, upkeep it from the turn before, free with the Wither Shot come on. You can cast it like 6 times in one turn.
Yeah, and then what's really cool is you can go in, do something, and then cover it up with a Veil of Mist later. You don't have to worry about putting the Veil of Mist blocking, I guess it doesn't block your line of sight, but it's a 4-inch cloud effect, so that's pretty sweet. So I would say that I would suggest Bane Thralls in any jack heavy environment because they're absolutely excellent. Plus, you say you've got a lot of shooty. They take the shooty pretty well. And with Curse of Shadows, I mean, they're going to kill anything. And I also probably would suggest, if you like Jack Heavy, I like the Reaper a lot with them, only because if you're going to be bringing Bane Thralls or the Wither Shadow Combine, you can really, pull some tricks out of your hat trying to force them to do something. And with the Coven, what's cool is, with Curse of Shadows, it's like another armor debuff that you know you're going to be able to kill whoever with the Wither Shadow Combine, which is really nice. And also, Infernal Machine can really help, you know, your jacks. If they're further away, you can control the board at a much easier. You already have fast jacks, now you have even faster ones.
And their feat's pretty good against those two factions you mentioned because of the heavy shooty. It's going to shut it all down.
That's right.
For a turn. So it'd be great. I mean, first turn, if you can push up field, I wouldn't say run everything because you probably want to keep stuff relatively close together and you've got fast stuff and slow stuff. But, move up and feat, you're going to be relatively safe from reprisal.
Do they still have the, is it still Shadowfall or whatever?
Yeah, Nightfall. Now, this won't be very easy to do necessarily, but I like those Bane Thralls because you stack their Dark Shroud with Curse of Shadows, you start Stygian Abyssing, and you get a Pal 16.
That's true. If you can get
if you can get one up there. But if you can't, you Curse of Shadows the turn before, maybe you got Pal 14s now.
That is true.
You know, there's something to be said from Mark 1 to Mark 2 about the Coven. Mark 1, they were so specialized. You know, and what they did. Now that you know, Privateer made them.
They still are, but it's a different specialty.
No, I think they're more generic now, but making them more generic made them better.
Yeah,
I think they're more fun now for both players.
There's no stigma associated with playing.
Right. Well, and they can just do so much now.
I think this whole like maneuverability going through and stuff is their new specialty. I think it's just not as outright one-dimensional as the three Stygian Abysses.
It's kind of a shtick, but at the same time, I mean, just casting things like Ghostwalk or Occultation or Infernal Machine on multiple targets, being able to maneuver things around really well, while it is kind of I think I agree with Tim more because it just really helps whatever you're bringing. And we said it earlier, you can probably bring anything with them, and it can be fine, and, or you have, you know, something for everyone, so. I definitely think the Satixis are cool too if you're running against a Jack Heavy environment because you can really put the pressure on your opponent to not get two Stygian Abysses or three Stygian Abysses to the face to end the game by putting 4, 5, 6 points on them with a charge from the Satixis.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, Eric.
Hope you did well in your tournament.
Why is that funny?
Because I was take two. Called him Chris the first time.
What the fuck?
All right. Thanks All for right. writing in, though.
We're moving on to the book.
Now to the meat.
Meet us.
Get a little Kator Forces War Machine.
There's actually a very important notice on page 3 Tim just pointed out to me.
And you know what's funny is they're specific to each faction forces book.
Product information is subject to change, and if you steal our material, we will tell Karch if you failed him. He's not a guy you want to disappoint.
Yeah, I've seen that before. Before a while back, I think it was maybe Prime or something. It was the Butcher. It was like something about him killing you or finding you or something.
Well, and it's like Signar has something about, oh, I forget. I think it ties into Stryker putting all the Menites on the boat or something.
Yeah. I found it funny under playtesters, they had all field test participants and they had our player community, which was interesting. Maybe they're talking about their specific community up there, but, but yeah.
Now, didn't they say at the beginning that wasn't playtesting?
Ooh.
Did I just catch him in a little word
a little,
net?
A little 1-2 punch.
That's a catch 23.
What do you mean?
So as we open the book.
It's a catch 22, but I forget
no,
my mind.
No, not that. I mean, it doesn't say. It says field test. For
yeah, under playtesters.
Which they said the field test was not playtest.
Gotcha. Yeah, you're splitting hairs.
Well, I got to get a haircut after I leave here, so I'm actually going to split hairs today.
There you go.
I can
many
I,
hairs.
I can
look
cut
a little
that
shaggy.
Afterwards. You look like a dog.
Zoinks. Zoinks. All right, what do we got here?
We got some sweet fluff. Tim, do you like the fluff?
Oh,
Tim,
yes.
How was the fluff this time, Tim?
Really good. I liked it a lot. I got the sense that, at least from between the Signar book and now this book, that they're really starting to amp up the Krix storyline and like their presence is becoming more...
On the mainland.
More on the mainland. And I think it's going to factor big into like the next big end of the story arc. Because before, it was always like, you know, they're in their lair laughing maniacally and that's it. You know, there's not a lot. There wasn't a whole lot going on.
Are you saying they're doing more than playing and laughing in this one?
Yes.
I have not gotten to the fluff yet in this book.
There's two stories. The first one is about Strakoff, the new guy. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool.
I really like how they portrayed him, because they made him like a company man on one hand, and on the other hand, kind of sympathetic. Like, he's really down to get the job done, but he understands, like, he has morals, and you can really see it. I don't really want to spoil what exactly happens, but there's a point where, you know, with a common enemy.
I'm only going to say one word, and it's a minor spoiler for the whole thing. Cephalix.
Oh, really?
And that's it. That's all I'm going to go to. The second story, which I thought was really cool, was about Vlad.
Oh, it's one of my
favorites.
I was
so excited. I was like, yeah, he's getting more book time.
Because he never really had, like, other than Old Witch.
Other than him killing the Harbinger. Oh, look. And yeah. He really didn't talk a whole lot.
They weren't very happy. The Protector was not very happy with him about that.
He invoked the Law of Envoy, which is parlay, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And which is actually part... Some...
Wait, I thought they're not pirates, though, so the code doesn't apply.
Well, it's more guidelines.
Oh, okay.
And apparently the Law of Envoy is part of the canon of true law. Oh, and. Well. What what they did is they're like, okay, you can come in, and then they clubbed him and knocked him out.
Oh,
they torture him.
So they captured him.
Spoilers.
But Vindictus comes into the picture.
There you go. There's the spoiler, guys.
Works him over.
New Protector Warcaster in the book. But it's really sweet, and Vlad
he seems like a dickbag.
Is it like Vin Huge Diesel? It's like Vindictus.
Pretty much.
It's actually two names.
But seriously though, Vlad got, he really amped up the respect in my book. This book, it's just really...
He's a Menite. Never knew that. That was like a little tidbit that was kind of thrown in there.
Are you just spoil everything?
Maybe.
It's just a little part of it. It's
hey, you
should
have read
anything.
It. Not my fault.
Well, no, it's not me I'm worried about. It's people who actually care. All right, fine.
It's already been out for a week.
So are you saying that Vlad is more than trailer trash?
He is. And I find it very interesting because, like, I really like the way that he acted. He's, you know, under this such great duress, and he still, like, outthinks everyone in the room. And he's just, I just have, like, a much greater respect. He's very knowledgeable. He knows, like, everything. Like, obviously he was a lord, you know, and now a prince. And so he really well educated in different languages and different, like, obviously he knew a lot about the book. The canon for Protectorate. He's just well versed in the world, and I find that really cool.
Now, if you were being tortured and you were Vlad, wouldn't you just cast Blood of Kings every turn?
That's part
Epic
of the
Vlad
story.
Doesn't have Blood of Kings.
So, but very cool fluff.
Yes.
And then from there, you go on to the cool little part about the military and stuff. It was pretty interesting. Not too much we didn't already know, but some stuff that
there
is
little
new.
Tidbits added.
Absolutely.
Stuff that's happened since.
Well, not only that, but like that now they give. Like something I hadn't read before is like they gave a name to like the head of the mechanics assembly, the Mechanerbo.
Oh,
or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like little add on.
Mechanerbo.
I'm not
something from Tron or something.
If you look at it, I don't know if I don't even know how to pronounce it.
They also have a nice little tidbit on Kovnik Joe's 111th Infantry Battalion, the Unbreakable 111th.
It's because he gives them boosted attack rolls.
Premier of the Kadoran High Command's last name is Horse.
I didn't get...
Horsey. That's what I was calling it.
Horcha.
I didn't understand...
He's in tight with Queen Anne.
Yeah, right.
I didn't understand the...
It's amazing.
The high command thing. I thought that, I guess Irsk is not the top. There's
Irsk
a bunch of guys.
Is basically the leader. He leads all the forces on the front, but he's also
responding to people.
They're supposedly equal to him, but because he's a warcaster, he's out on the front lines.
Okay.
And because they were expanding their borders... And taking territory, they needed somebody like that out in the field to coordinate all the forces.
All right.
It actually states that in the military section if you would have read that.
Well, then you get to the theme lists. And guys, what do we think about the theme lists?
I think they suck.
I think they're better than
the
Signar ones.
Yeah, they're way better than the Signar ones.
Are they better
bad.
Than the Retribution ones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
Kalos, the theme list is pretty strong. But other than that,
I'd like to see that go up against an Epic Butcher tiered list.
Goo! They might do pretty well, though.
What would Orsius Octavier do? I think he'd take a head or two. That should have been the name of his
What
would
Boytano do?
What would Orsius Octavier do?
Octavier.
I think he'd take a head or two.
Octavier.
Whatever.
What about Commander Zorsha and her mechanized infantry? What do we got here?
Which ones really stand out to you guys? Well, let's talk about one thing that we saw on Wednesday night. We did, in fact, see a game between a Tier 4 Butcher list and a Tier 4 Epic Butcher list. It was ridiculous.
Ray was in Butcher Heaven.
Yeah, he was. He had four units of Doom Reavers with UA.
He's got a fifth.
He's got a fifth.
I like his unit that has the Fenris capes on every guy.
Yeah, he has.
He was asking me what he should do for the fifth unit. He's talking about giving them all Fenris fell blades.
Oh gosh, I like the ones that are armor 15. Those ones are pretty sweet.
Uh huh.
Get my drift. But it was pretty awesome. They just murdered everything. They just, it was sweet. But then, in the Butcher tier list, he had Widowmakers and stuff just planking them down, just taking it to the face. And then eventually the Doom Reavers were able to get into combat.
You couldn't kill them all. I think that's what makes that list so potent, in my opinion.
But it was such a cool battle because it, like, everything died. And it was really awesome to watch. Like, the Man of War, we're going toe to toe with the Doom Reavers. And, you just had to have a lot of output. And, in the end, regular Butcher did go down. So, very cool.
Yeah, only because he, like, whiffed an attack. He whiffed a charge attack on Epic Butcher. That was the only thing that...
There you go.
He didn't... The only reason he didn't win.
It's possible.
So, it was an epic fail.
Yes.
Ooh.
So what ones would you say are the... Overall, I think they're generally more competitive than the other tiered lists.
I can see some of these going into competitive play. For example, regular Sorcia's tiered list, other than missing Iris, which is a pretty big deal with her... There's really – that's a great list. I mean, Jax, Wintergard, Widowmakers seems good to me. Free Kovnik Joe,
And it's Iron Fang units, so you can take the Great Bears. You can take
I'm talking about Sorcia.
Regular Sorcia.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she don't have it. I was like – Dave turned a page on me. It messed me up.
Yeah, no, but it's Battle Mechanics, Widowmakers, and Wintergard units, which is fine because with her with her feet, you're going to want to have a Destroyer. You're going to bring Beast 09. And she just has really good general benefits. +2 deployment, +1 to your starting roll, free Joe, and 1 heavy warjack getting advanced move for each battle mechanic unit. I mean, it's solid.
I kind of like regular Butcher.
Yeah, it's not bad.
+2 speed for Manowar. Those shock troopers, move those bastards up field quick, yep. Hold a point, lock it down.
Well, yeah, because it's +2 speed, that means they're running 12 on turn 1.
Yeah, that's to their speed stat, so you double it for if they run. Pretty gross.
I would say that Epic Vlad's maybe one of the strongest.
You've got
cheaper Ulans if you like Ulans, but then which obviously great models with his feet, 80 Great Bears, stupid,
this is dumb.
Then if you include Drago, which with Epic Vlad you should, friendly models begin the game affected by his upkeep spells. He's got solid upkeeps. You've got a sail for Drago. You've got Hand of Fate. You've got Transference. He's a friendly model. He can be affected by Transference. So. You got lots of things. And then +2 inches of deployment if you have a unit of Ulans and Markov.
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you with Epic Vlad nowadays?
Well, and because the Cav unit is 1 point cheaper.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes them actually a little bit better.
Exactly. It's essentially a 3 point Markov.
That point you save is a War Dog.
There you go.
So would you say he's your Cav caster?
Probably.
He is the Horse Lord.
Yeah, thank you.
And then finally, one that I played the other day, which we're going to get to talking about, but I just think it's absolutely excellent, is the Old Witch tier list. At first, I dogged it so hard because I hate Grey Lords of Mark II and I hate Kasai Woodsman. But the list, even though I lost horribly...
You lost horribly because of one really lucky die roll that went against you.
And it's okay. And that's okay.
Saying it was not a horrible loss.
My vision of battle, kind of like how Strakov can look at the battlefield and see what had happened here, which was really awesome. One of my favorite parts of the fluff about Strakov. I could just see how the game would have developed and it would have just gotten opened up from there. And it would have been terrifying. And I think it's a pretty good tier list.
I'm curious what you guys think about Karchevs. It's called Iron Curtain because I guess they needed to give it back to him. But I mean, the cheaper Jacks, and I know Tim, you love the Grey Lords and the free cover going upfield in the first turn.
I'm going
to
play a Grey Lord caster. I'm going to play a real one. Well, her name is Zirkova.
He's a Grey Lord.
We haven't done our Grey Lord battle yet. We should do tier 4 Grey Lord battle. That's what we'll do.
Well, do you think this is going to give him any extra push? Do you think people...
I think the people that like him will play him more.
I think the cheaper Jacks is a good incentive.
The cheaper Jacks is huge.
I mean, if you take Karchev, you're probably taking 3 Jacks.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, 5-point Berserkers.
And you're going to take the Grey Lords to give them the concealment to try to make them a little bit better to survive.
The big problem with him is going to be the... Like,
2 Manowar units?
2 Manowar units.
Double Bombardier main unit.
You can only take one. Or one.
Fine, a Shock Trooper and a Mid Bombardier.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty strong. Great for holding the point down when your Jacks are on the go.
The problem, though, with it is, I mean, if I was going to play Karchev with Toe and the Jacks, I would probably want IFP as my unit because they would be faster. They could kind of stay up front. And block up lanes. Manowar are not going to keep up with the tow.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably want Wintergard because you really want good
infantry clearing. That's another really good one.
But you're right. Manowar won't, but the Bombardiers are great for infantry clearing. And the Shock Troopers, even a min unit, would be really strong for holding points in steamroller play.
Yeah, all I have to do is run the first turn and then shield wall.
Yep. So, I don't know. It's pretty interesting. But on to, I suppose, our good friend who we've been speaking so highly of is Strakov. I love this guy.
Let's just skip him.
Let's just skip
him. He is so good.
He is pretty sweet. I don't know what to say.
Right? I haven't seen him a whole lot yet, but I'm making the prediction that he's one of their new top-tier casters, without a doubt in my mind.
Yeah, he's in the top third. I just can't imagine him not being. His feat is stupid. It is so good. Being immune to fire and corrosion is horrible. Like, it's ridiculous. I cannot believe they gave him those immunities without, I don't know. I mean, I get it because he's Assault Commando, but, I mean, immune to Legion, breath weapons, that's huge. And then,
well, it's all their range attacks are, like, from beasts are all fire-based.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, Dave and I were talking, and I believe Immolation was replaced with a lot of the spells for Protectorate.
Immolation replaced some of their other stuff.
Which is fire-type, which is nice to, you know, be immune to that.
Ashes to Ashes is fire. It's not going to be a lot for him. I mean, that's Assault Commandos that can't take.
Sure, yeah.
Take the hit.
And then Immunity Corrosion, you know, Bile Thrall Purges. There's a couple good Corrosion Venom. You know, can't, you know, and both of those.
Some of the major Crix abilities, like, as you said, are all corrosion based.
Yeah, I mean,
so
some
it's
of them. I mean, not too many of them, but it's still something, you know? And those are just both the things that at the end of the game, when you get affected by corrosion, you get affected by fire, it's just such an ass to deal with. And now that you don't even have to deal with it, who cares? The Alchemical Mask is great, obviously. Elite Cadre, giving him Pathfinder for Assault Commandos, it's whatever. I mean, it's good.
It lets you hide him somewhere and then sneak out of a forest, you know?
I feel a lot better about it after reading the fluff, because I understand why, but you know, it's good. It's not bad.
Doesn't hurt you.
Yeah, but it's not going to change the Assault Commandos, in my opinion.
Until the Crick spell where everything with Pathfinder dies immediately comes out.
Oh, God, that'd be so good against Circle. and then Sprint is stupid. Like,
Sprint? Really? God,
he's like a little, he's the Warcaster Finn.
So is he like a little squirrely guy in the fluff? Is he like just diving around, stabbing people, and running around?
No, he's a badass.
He's like a Navy SEAL.
He's like a Navy SEAL.
When he fought
that trencher.
Oh, my God. That was awesome.
I'm spoiling it.
No,
okay.
No, you're not. This little knife is like
it's a magic POW weapon.
13. God.
It's a trench
knife. On the charge sword. 15.
That's huge.
That's a sword.
It's got to be.
Trench sword.
It's a sword. It's a Sheba.
He's got his only new spell is
Sword
Sentry.
Sword is an S word.
His only new spell is Sentry, and it's pretty sweet. You can. It just has to end in your line of sight, and then you get to shoot, like, mortar, like, destroyer.
You don't even have to shoot the mile
yeah,
of move. You can
anything.
Shoot anybody.
Actually, I'm more impressed with your idea of putting it on the Dracoon, so he shoots and then countercharges.
Yeah, if you come within 6 inches, you get shot, countercharged. That'd be pretty sweet.
Battering Ram, eh.
Battering Ram's horrible.
That's his
I have
worst
that
spell.
On Madrak, and it's just trash. I don't even know why. Like, I would rather it just not be there.
He should have Razor Wind instead. That's a staple Kador spell.
There you go. Occultation we've already talked about, but for Kador models, Great Bears, you know, IFP, so good. Like, so many annoying shooting things that just gets rid of that. Yesterday, they totally would have won the game if he would not have committed Strakov and just sat there and stealthed himself, because the only thing they could have done is shot him, and he ended up getting shot to death. Rift is solid. Its superiority is obviously superiority. Is superior.
Overrun.
And then Overrun. I didn't even think about it. I didn't say
that. Oh, hey, Morton Abra. I take that from you.
Stacked with superiority because they are speed 6.
Or if you
so
really
get to move 6 inches.
He puts it on himself. He charges up field, kills something, and then one of his jack just scream forwards after he hits.
Well, no. Here, if you really want to be sick, he can't overrun on himself. He pops his feet, so he's affected by it.
Right.
He charges something.
In his control area.
In his control area.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kills it, overruns himself, and then if he kills another mount, he can sprint back and get away.
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're right. Huh. That's pretty cool. You could overrun yourself into combat with their Warcaster.
Yes.
I like that idea.
That extends that threat range.
I didn't even
just
think about
ridiculous.
That. Thank you, Tim. But it's pretty awesome. I just think all around he's solid. The Cinder Bomb is sweet. it's cool, and you can throw it in combat and not worry about it hurting you because it can't.
He not does in combat, zealot, but like in zealot right bomb next to you, throw.
Essentially. And then the riot gun is cool.
My zealots need to steal his bombs back for themselves.
Nope.
Pow 14.
Cloud effect.
You get Pow 14 bombs, don't you?
Only with the priest. They used go. To be 14. They went down to 12.
There you go. Pow 14. So pretty sweet. What else is new? New and improved. I'll tell you my gripe about this book, even though I love Dave's response to this gripe, is I'm really mad I didn't get another Jack. And Dave's response is...
You got Manowar.
No, Dave's response is... Have you seen the Jack that I'm getting?
Yeah.
So I'm true. Happy.
I will trade you your lack of a Jack for the Vigilant, sir.
Exactly. So I
actually,
mean,
that'd be pretty cool for Kator to have a light Jack that was armor 21.
That would be pretty fun. But I don't know. I really like the Kator Jacks, and I wish there was another one. Assault Commando Flamethrower is sweet. We've already
seen
about
him.
It.
No take up, because you can't.
You can't take that
because
up.
Because if
he's
he dies,
gone.
He blows up.
Although it is sweet, I've talked about, you know, min unit plus 3. There's no reason not to do that. I think that's a great idea. And then the Grey Lord Escort's the only new thing that we haven't seen before.
Tim, you pretty much guessed this guy to the T. I remember way back when you were saying he's going to be on the Doom Reavers, he's going to have Silence, and he'll probably have... And you may have said Ice Cage or something.
Instead I think you even said they'll give him Tough, ha ha ha. Yeah.
But he did.
Well, and I think it's amusing that the only spell he has... Is Frostbite Spray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of tough because you always want those Doom Reavers charging, but, you know, he's just kind of there to grant silence to Tough, I guess.
Well, and he increases their command by 2, which lets them spread out quite a bit more.
That is true. He's the leader, right?
Yeah.
Sweet. The officer.
There is always a danger in that, is if your officer dies, not only do you have to displace your leadership point, but it must be your radius shrinks. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of screw yourself if he dies, but he's got 5 boxes and, you know, Tough.
True.
I think it's also interesting that he, in the little blurb about him describing him, that it's they're using necromantic energy, just like on a little fluff thing. So it's like, you know, they're really delving into some...
Well, it's all
Orgothian. Right,
you know, so
right.
It was never good
cool.
to begin with, really.
Yeah,
do you think
they really
will
use whatever they can get their hands on.
Yeah,
oh, I'm pretty sure he's pretty insane.
Well, his staff's even bigger than Zarkova's little ice cream cone thing.
Yeah, so it's really Orgothian.
So why can't he do much with it?
The ice cream cone's a ranged weapon.
Yeah. The staff, like, howls, and that's what like, gives him the
he's like, would you like 2 scoops for that?
Do you think, like, in, you know, quote, real life, the staff, like, moves and shifts and the faces move
yeah,
and stuff?
Yeah, I actually do think so.
I figured they did with the swords, but I don't know about a staff. That would freak me out.
If what?
Would it maybe drive you crazy?
It's good.
Is he an abomination?
Oh, this is for Frank. You drive me crazy.
That'd be awesome. Young
monkey.
Cannibals.
Wow. Yeah,
it is fine, Young Cannibals.
Hey, guess what? His magical weapon staff has a magical weapon reach icon.
That's hilarious. That's awesome. It does.
Good job, Brad Tier. Double magical. Double over armor, I think.
Well, it's a magical weapon and a magical weapon at reach. So any other weapon as well as magical weapon reach, it's only magical weapon the first half inch.
That's true. Oh, Miss Prince. They didn't give him a nunchuck for Weapon Master.
It's not a goddamn nunchuck.
For what?
It doesn't
what?
Look like a nunchuck. It's a, never mind.
It's a saber. Saber handle.
Yeah,
yes.
It looks like a nunchuck too sometimes.
All right, you've seen the Bombardiers, right?
You might want to get your prescription checked.
Dude, Arcing Fire.
God, I hate the Bombardiers.
They are so good.
We'll see. They're gonna.
You know what?
Fire.
You want to know what I'm gonna hate? I'm gonna hate when you take the Bombardiers with Strike Off and give them Stealth.
Yeah, that's gonna be pretty sweet. I mean, 11 Dude. Points is a lot of an army.
I know.
11 points is a lot of an army, though.
But even 7 for 3 of those, it's not bad.
For 2 points more, you can have the Behemoth. I'm just gonna put it out there.
Yeah, for 2 points more from 7, you can have a Destroyer. It's less shots, but it's more range and it's boostable. I don't know. I mean, they're good. Don't get me wrong. And they're
I think
a unit.
They're really gonna shine like under Vlad. With or epic Vlad for
don't
that matter,
go there.
With hand of faders,
don't go there.
Portents.
Oh. I mean, hand of faded, feated,
64 dice.
Hand of faded, hand of fate, feated bombardiers can move 7 and then shoot at rat 8 their shots with hand of fate up. So they're going to be pretty potent
additional
for
additional
cool assassin.
Attack and damage. Drop the low.
Yeah, so they're going to be pretty potent for assassination.
That is
I think.
Effectively a POW 16.
Right. Thank you.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's a really strong shot. So.
Well, with the Arcing Fire, they're great backup. And then when your front lines finally die, they're still there and they're still a solid second wave to go in and chop you up with their
and their 40k chain weapons.
Now,
will
the
kill
thing
stuff.
That they suffer is the same thing that the Demogorgon do is their only arm 16. Compared to the 17-plus shield wall of shock troopers, that's fragile. However,
so you can just hang them out behind the shock troopers.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I think it's hilarious that people are like, armor 16, it's so fragile. It's Kator. That's actually not bad.
That's one of the reasons that people now take the shock troopers over the Demacor.
Yeah,
the difference is the Bombardiers have more utility. It was something that Jason and I, it's like kind of a term I finally conceptualized, is the Bombardiers are always rolling dice.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about this the other day.
And it's, you know, you're always doing something.
Right.
This is like comparing TFG to Errant.
Yeah.
The TFG are great for tying stuff up, but the Errant, if they're in position, are always rolling dice because they have both types of weapons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a concept that when I came to Kador, I've really attached to the things that always roll dice, like Winter Guard getting multiple dice from range, dice from sprays. You know, I like the new riflemen because they're 14-inch. You know, they get the dice there.
Man, them and Cosmic Joe are just awful.
Yeah, and also like that's another reason why I'm not taking mortars is because it's 3 points, and while they do quote unquote always roll dice, it's not very accurate. And for those 3 points, I'm filling it with things that I believe are getting a position and doing things.
If you're going to have either unit of Winter Guard, I would rather have Joe than the mortar.
Oh, yeah. Done. Absolutely. Joe's one
Joe,
point less.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I would pay all three for Joe over the mortar.
Joe so three or two?
Two.
I mean, totally be three and still be worth his points.
That's my point.
That is
exactly.
Scary.
Yep. And then, you know, what else we got? That was
really the last.
I mean, that was it that we didn't know. So, very cool stuff. The Winter Guard marksman, I have a little more appreciation for him because I read his little fluff piece.
I like a lot of the new art they have.
Is he all enemy at the gates?
Yeah, they're like we send him in to kill the one guy, and he like sneaks in and then he kills the one guy and then he leaves. So he's
But that guy lost an enemy at the gates.
Well, not yeah, whatever. What do you think? You like the new Fenris art? You said
yeah,
it's too blue.
In particular, I like the burning like village or something in the background. It's like yeah. He did that all on his own.
I like him. I like the Burning Village, but I don't like how blue the page is. The page is so blue.
That's actually one of my minor complaints about this is the art is inconsistent. It's all great art. Don't get me wrong, but if I was going to have to nitpick, I would say that you can see that there are a number of different styles involved. I don't like Fenris. I don't like this.
I kind of like it.
It looks too cartoony. This right here, this picture is the reason I don't like trolls.
I get that. I totally get that.
I mean, we've had this discussion before. I think they're great sculpts. They're just not my thing. And that's, I mean, this is a pretty decent picture, but yeah, it's a little bit too Saturday morning.
Am I going to
buy expert on horses, but the legs look really stumpy on that.
He does. This looks like something He-Man would fight.
It does look He-Man-ish. A lot of it, I think, has to do with the armor, making me think of Battle Cat, but it does look very,
I don't know if you guys have seen the model up close. His horse is,
F'd.
Amazing.
Yes.
Look at my horse.
How does it taste?
Just like raisins.
Stop singing. We're supposed to not sing.
Oh yeah, that's right.
His horse has more armor than Iron Fang Ulan horses.
Fenris kills somebody, he attacks him.
It has just as much, if not more, armor than like an Ulan horse does.
God, I don't want to buy Ulans, but I think I might have to for Epic Vlad tier list just to have some fun.
You can borrow mine. I'm not playing them right now.
That's true.
And they're painted.
I'm looking at page 136, where Kator is about to mop up some dwarves, and I feel bad for the dwarves. Gorton's about to die.
I mean, that's a shit ton
page?
Of Kator.
136.
Look at that double destroyer fire over the top. You've got Zerkova and Epic Sorsha. Is there any
I don't know about that. If it's actually Gorton's turn and he hasn't feeded yet, Zerkova's dead, because that driller there is going to tear down.
Wait, where is she?
No, she's
top of stairs.
I don't know. It's going to be hard to get them that far up because
there's a basher.
You got the Grey Lords in the
ways.
No,
if Gorton hasn't feeded yet, she's dead.
I don't know. I'm not sure if that's possible. And it doesn't matter because then Epic Sorcerer rolls in and just
kills her.
Two boosted destroyer shots kills Gorton.
After Epic Sorcerer pops her feet.
Yeah.
There's actually a ton of sprays in this picture.
It's hot.
Sprays are hot.
What do you think about how much spray has been added into the game?
As somebody who loves stealth, I understand why it's there, but I don't like it.
Fair enough.
I've said it before. When we first talked about when Mark II stuff first coming out, was sprays are really good now, and I think any every faction's got the ability to take at least one.
You know what's going to be an awesome
and
spray?
And some can do it better than others, and I think it's worth seriously looking into in your list, because there is so much stealth and stuff, and you can kill more models with it.
You know what's going to be an awesome spray?
What's that?
When the Errant UA comes out and gives the Errant's crossbows sprays with continuous fire but not fire damage type.
Yeah.
Are they doing like the multiple arrows at a time, like Robin Hood or something?
Yeah, no, it actually shoots
like 300
bursts of not flame from their crossbow.
Okay.
They're going to blot out the sun.
They're also going to fix crossbows.
Fight in the shade.
So Errants have two attacks and the shield.
You're going to be really disappointed with Errant's UA, I bet. I bet. I mean, I don't know, but I have a feeling. By the way, the Extreme Destroyer is ridiculous looking. It has the biggest gun of all time.
I think that these like extreme behemoths sculpts are cool in concept, but I really don't like them from a playability standpoint
at all. Look how humongous that.
Well, and because they're
the
bigger,
the space they take up.
The rule that, you know, you see any part of the jack.
No, that doesn't apply.
That's a column. Not anymore. Cylinder, no.
But you know, in Mark One they were retarded.
In Mark One, yeah, but I look how he's almost a full base width off to the side.
Look at that.
Look at the
it's
gun.
Like he needs a 4-inch wide base, and as cool as it is, that's entirely unplayable.
That looks worse than the Death Jack.
Hold the phone, kids. Hold the phone. I don't have a picture here.
Page 144.
It's right there in the middle.
No.
Oh, you're missing. Oh my goodness.
Does your hardcover have a white page?
Oh wait, the hardcover has different pages, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I remember people talking about this.
Yeah, it sucks.
Am I missing out on that art?
Isn't there a missing page at the beginning, too, I thought?
What is your first cover? No, I have that somewhere.
Okay, so you're just missing the last piece of artwork.
I think I have it somewhere.
Or that last image release.
Oh,
I don't know.
So you're missing something.
Interesting. I'm not missing anything.
Well, let me describe what's happening. You got Vlad in the bottom right. It's Epic Vlad. He's about to kill Drago. Actually, there's nobody left for them to kill.
Let me see the picture, Josh. Let me see it.
Game over.
God, I want soft cover now. PPM, really pissed.
We'll scan.
I'm sad.
We won't scan that and give it to you.
It would actually be funny if at the beginning of the book they had before the battle, and then the last picture in the book was after the battle. Where they,
you know, it'd actually be really cool if some of these full art plates told a story.
Yeah.
If they did them in series.
You know, they sort of tried to do that, I guess, in somewhere.
Comics.
Maybe it was Apotheosis with the Apotheosis artwork and the battle scenes and all that. But yeah, it would be nice if they did that.
Graphic novels.
Put little cartoon bubbles, you know, what they're saying.
Vlad
Although I do,
tortured.
As much as I like what they do, and I realize this would be difficult to do, I'd hate seeing the bases on all the models in these things.
I don't like pictures where they remove the bases.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. I mean, I understand why they do it, because obviously they're, you know, whatever. But I like it when they're not on the bases. It throws it off for me.
It also gives a sense of scale, though.
Sure.
For people
sure.
who are interested in picking models up, mm-hmm. that I think is necessary. But I don't know. It's... There's something about once you take the base off, it's not a playable model. You've basically made a
diorama.
Yeah, well, I guess what I'm saying is that I'd like the dioramas more.
Sure.
You know, like the huge one of Sewell, or yeah, it was the Sewell in at Gen Con.
I think something like that in person, like that.
Right.
Because then you can get a sense of scale because you're there and you've got the whole, you know, depth perception or anything. Yeah, I think it's nice, especially in that.
One thing I do like about these pictures with the bases, though, because it looks like somebody's playing this game. This looks like something that I could see and then I could do.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a good thing about it.
It also gives you a sense of scale for if you like wanted to try to make the terrain or something.
Yeah, that's a
good point.
I would love to play a game on something like that. I think it'd be kind of fun.
Let's put something together.
Let's do it.
City fight. I got a bunch of Mordheim buildings we can use.
No, but see,
I've been rebasing them.
So it'd be
like
I'm saying, like levels,
we could do something
like levels, streets, like steps. I don't know. I always thought that'd be really cool if we could do that. I think Dave and Tim are kissing. I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's hurry up and get onto your list so they can make out later.
Okay. I did play an old witch tier list, and like I said, when I first looked at it and I saw the tiers, I was like, oh man, I gotta bring this, and this. But in the end, it proved to be pretty solid, I believe. Dave, what's in my list?
Your list consists of Zavanna Aga, the Old Witch of Kadwar. She comes with a Scrapjack. To that, Jason added a Destroyer, a Kodiak, and a Spriggan.
Yes.
4-Jack Battle Group. He then added 2 Turnians, 2/3 of a Turnian of Turnians, so 2 Turnian units. The 2 units of 6 Kossite Woodsmen.
What? Yes, 2 units of 6.
2 Manhunters and Yuri, who came in for free.
For free.
The Widowmaker Marksman and 4 of his closest buddies, one of which only has 1 eye. So
and
that's
a female.
Yes.
It's a brown eye.
Like Sammy Davis.
So that
hey,
would be
Hipcats.
one unit and the Widowmaker, captain and unit guy thingy, marksman himself.
There you go.
The Strider Deathstalker.
So that
and
was my list.
What did it let you do at the start of the game?
Well, the tier lists are the following, or let you do the following. If you include all the models in the army, you get your entire army gets stealth.
The first turn.
First round.
First turn. So it really wasn't too helpful.
Well, it depends what you're playing.
Yeah.
That could actually
against,
be really
in my
good.
Game, it was very helpful. But it's, yes, it's amazing.
If you go first especially against go like first. Signar and you run upfield and you can say, eh, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Free Yuri for the second tier, which has to include 2 units of Kassite Woodsmen, which he does make them give
Tree
them
walker.
+2 defense in the woods and can move through models. So that's pretty sweet. Then the third tier, which is include 2 or more Grey Lords.
This is the part you probably were the most hesitant to add, I would say, because you're not as big of a Grey Lord fan as Tim is.
I hate Grey Lords. They're not worth 4 points. 3 may be too cheap, but 4, like, I expect boxes probably. That would have just made them a little better. So this tier.
What if they
you...
had Force Barrier?
Oh, my God.
That'd probably be worth it, yeah.
Maybe they'll get a UA.
I mean, that's actually something I could see for a unit like this.
Yeah.
Of anyway, sorry, go
sure.
ahead.
Sure. Anyways, as long as it was a 1 point UA.
Yeah, okay.
I'm serious. Well, it's only a 3-man unit. I mean, it's not like it's
you know,
affecting a broad.
You know, my Suffolix Overlords have boxes, right?
Yeah, I do.
How do you feel about that?
They're way better than Grey Lords.
They are.
Punch Josh.
Same
me.
With my troll dudes. I think they're better
oh,
than
Oh, right,
too.
The Orange Reapers.
So are Roven and. Wait, never mind.
the Vigilants. Friendly Miles units can be affected by the old witch's upkeep spells, which I tossed out. Iron Flesh, I tossed out. Wield Secrets, and I tossed out on her
Avatar
of
Slaughter.
And then the fourth tier.
And she can upkeep one of those for free every turn still?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's correct.
So, I mean, that's some
it's
free focus.
It's a lot of focus.
That's some free focus. I mean, really, though, you don't necessarily need it, because what she's going to be doing probably is running all her jacks.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and but still,
I can still cast Murder of Crows while having all those out there. I can still, you know.
And the first turn, you don't have to upkeep them. You get them upkept for free.
And then the fourth tier, which is one of the coolest, models in your army game Pathfinder the first turn. And then you can put out 3 forests within 20 inches of your table edge. So it really gives her a really great, like, I place them in a way that I could go to the right, I could go to the left, or I could stay in the center. I had to position them around another forest, which isn't a problem. And I was able to.
Is there any rule about overlapping or placing them near other terrain?
You can't place them within 3 inches of another piece of terrain.
Can you place them near each other?
Yeah, they are pieces of terrain.
Yes, they
well,
are.
Well, there. I thought there was one that said you could place them near each other or something. Maybe I'm imagining
I don't know,
it.
But
don't
this
remember.
One, I didn't place them within 3 because I thought they were terrain. So, so it was really helpful to give her prowl when I thought I would, you know, need to. So, very cool stuff. So, as far as how the army goes, you know, you have Kassite Woodsmen harassing, and then you've got
both flanks basically with two. Your opponent knows he can't commit to either side.
Yeah, so you've got them, and they're not very good, but at the same time, they're still there.
They're cheap.
They can get out of your back arc. They're pretty sweet. I think that the real core of the unit of the army is just in being. Really, like, I feel like you could, like, if you want to bring on Kassites, like, turn 2, and, like, if you have top, you bring them on turn 2 and you run them. If you had, like, 2 units, you can run them in front of their army from the side, because you can move 3, run 12, and then reform another 3. So it's a total of an 18-inch, well, actually 19, because you can have your base be at 3 inches, so you get that inch of base. So from the table edges, you have 19 inches to swarm. I mean, if you ran 19 times 2, I mean, there's only 10 inches of the table in the center. It's not going to be blocked up. And you can block that up with Murder of Crows, with your jacks. You can really win like a mosh pit type scenario. And then you can move up in your second turn as well in feet. So that way they're taking pal 14s. You get you can get a control point on their turn if they get no one into the thing. And then if they don't get anyone into the mosh pit, you end your turn and you win the game.
That is a good picture.
What do you do with something like this, though, against a list that can take care of your jacks pretty quickly?
Like what?
Or even move them around. Well, you know, anything that can move your jacks with that force fishing line. Well, let's say siege, you can shoot jacks. That's going to suck.
Well, when you have jacks like these, I mean, you've got the destroyer who's going to be hanging out in the back. Then, yeah, you've got a Spriggan and a Kodiak. So they're liable to be hit. I mean, even if siege pops his feet, takes a defender, takes a shot at one of them, or takes a shot at both of them. He's dice plus four, so it's about a 14 on a boosted. Then he's taking pal 15s from the rest of them. I mean, you can't kill a Cotto or Jack like that. I mean, you can try to dish out the damage, but plus you get the shield bonus for the Spriggan. So it's actually a 10 plus two. So it's a 12. So you're only two off the roll or two plus the roll. So that's pretty sweet. So you got, you know, I think the Jacks are going to be okay from taking it out. The one thing that could take them out really easily is a good charge. But if you can move up and pop your feet, they can't charge. And if they do move in and end, you're taking pal 14s. So anything other than Jacks, things like Doom Reavers who could hurt them, things like Storm Blades, you know, they're dead. So, I mean, unless you have Striker's Feet and Arcane Shield, they're really not going to stand a chance. The Storm Blades aren't, at least. And furthermore, they still can't charge if they start in the control area. And you're going to have the Old Witch up there. So I think there's a little potency. What my opponent tried to do was try to push up field real fast. So my turn two, I ended up getting Old Witch on a unit of Satixis. I charged with Scrapjack and then got her on a unit of Satixis, and I was eating through them all. To my detriment, I took a free strike from one of them, and she crit knocked me down. I still had already popped my feet, but she was able to Hellfire me to death. So it wasn't really, you know, that... It wasn't a good, you know, I didn't, you know, do very well, obviously, because I lost. But the way I would have saw the game playing out is I would have killed most of the Satixis. I had three focus on me. I had only used one attack, and I had killed four Satixis at the time. So I had a move and another attack. And if I miss a Satixis, I'm mad eight, I need sixes. So it's easy to miss. I still had my second claw, and I still had a focus. And when I was done, when I had no more focus, when I only had two focus left, I would cast...
Unseen Path,
and go back to the Scrapjack and hide in the forest next to the Scrapjack. So, and I would have been feeded, so her stuff would all take pal 14s, which she had a bunch of light armored crick stuff. Really not that easy to, you know, keep, or it's pretty easy to keep them, you know, in check. Plus, as long as I had the Seether still in my control area, which I would have, I wouldn't have had to worry about any Jacks charging me.
What do you think of the fact that in her fluff picture, all her runic circles are neither Cadoric text, nor are they blue like the rest of the Cadoran magic is.
Let's find it. I don't know what it looks like.
Page 49. Not blue. Are they red?
What color is 49?
Yeah.
She has circles in 49?
Yeah, yep. She does. There's
look
one.
Under the base of the Scrapjack and around some of the totems in front.
Oh, I see. It's gray. I see.
And that's not Cadoran text.
It looks closer to Crixian, but it's not.
I would say circle-ish.
Obviously, that's probably what it's from, but...
Could be.
Oh, yeah. Even
she is the old witch.
She is immortal.
She's not the young witch. So, I mean...
She's ancient.
Blue is the standard.
Dedagra, I believe, had gray in the first book of Escalation, if I'm not mistaken. I think she might have. First did those rune circles. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like she did. I don't know. It's very interesting. You're right. That is not that kind of...
Did you see the skull?
That's what I was saying. The totems in front of her.
Mm-hmm. Very
and
cool.
Up there too. Interesting. That's completely irrelevant to how she plays in the table.
but yeah, I think New Old Witch, a lot of people talk about how she got nerfed because her feet is now move and end.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say that it got nerfed a little bit, but it's still really strong. Pal 14's hurt. You know, I mean, it's going to hurt you. And then the not being able to run, charge, or make special attacks is really huge.
I
think that is... That's what it comes down to. I think that kind of board control with the kind of stuff you bring is really powerful.
I'm kind of unhappy that she can't feed on the Scrapjack because a lot of people would do that and leave it exposed and I would kill it.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was pretty easy to kill. I think that you know, she's still a powerful board control warcaster. I still think she's a great add-on at 1,000 points because of what she adds. Iron Flesh to casters who don't have Iron Flesh. Gallows for assassination runs. Because usually she may not have the resources to get the assassination off because she doesn't really have a lot of good Jack movement. But people who do, Gallows will really help you get that extra distance. Wield Secrets as well. That's a really great ability when you're dealing with lots of forests or you need to buff your defense up. So I think that she's still really strong. And I think that, three Jack points, if she was a six Jack point caster, that means Scrapjack is only 3 points, which I think he is worth more than 3 points because he's very good. I think that with the addition of reach to his mechanical talons, that really helps him being able to slaughter through a bunch of medium defense troops at mat 7 with Avatar. So I think that he's pretty strong.
Cool. So what do you think her biggest weaknesses are?
In the tiered list, the biggest weakness I think is going to be...
the lack of Winter Guard.
I'm going to say the lack of, not just Winter Guard, but the lack of just troopers. The Kasai Woodsmen are going to get in the way, but they really don't pose too big of a threat. I think without any infantry to be able to take any of the infantry on, I mean, you've got the Widowmakers doing the best that they can to shoot people down.
That's Yuri's only 5 shots a turn.
Yeah, well, Yuri's going to have to get in there and sacrifice himself to kill a bunch of dudes.
Best she could really do is take a Devastator.
Yeah.
To rain death and kill as many in a unit as possible.
Yeah, I mean, with this list, I'm really trying to mitigate the infantry with destroyer rounds and Widowmaker shots. But I still think that, you know, the Kasai Woodsmen are just going to be annoying. You know, they're only rat 4, but rat 4 hits every once in a while. You know, it's that kind of random chance that makes them annoying. And they're only 4-6, and they can get in your way.
Well, so if they're coming in behind a unit, they're effectively a rat 6. Then.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, they're potentially hitting defense 13 guys in the back.
Yep.
Do you think this list would have a problem sticking out through a long game, like a 5-turn game?
I think it's possible, but at the same time, between Murder of Crows is really powerful. Like I don't want to slight this spell in the least. It's definitely my favorite spell of hers. It's a 5-inch cloud effect, so it blocks line of sight for really dealing with those late game charges that you see from those back rank models. It also does unboostable POW 8s, so against any infantry you can melt it, you know, you can make them move out, or you know, to wherever you want. If you don't want them to be in a zone, they can't hold the zone. So in a steamroller-like game, it can be really powerful against small infantry or solo types. I mean, I think that, especially with the jacks that I was considering bringing, Spriggan has obviously great longevity. The Destroyer is awesome because it's got that late game. I mean, it still has a POW 16 with crit amp. It's mad 6. It's a solid jack if you really need to get into melee. It does just as well as the Kodiak without the Chantak and without an additional arm. So I think that... By being able to have these forests on the table where you want them, you can really control the flow of the game by having Widowmakers in there. They're such a pain to deal with when they're in camouflage. I mean, I think there's a lot of the bonuses that you get from running this tier list is going to be pretty helpful. But yeah, I would say that it's possible longevity is a problem, but I could see it sticking out.
So you would say the overall weakness of the list is having to rely on the jacks to do almost everything.
Exactly. I think that the jacks are going to be the core of the army, and I'm a big believer in this game of breaking their core to try to win the game, splitting their army. And I think that it's kind of a weak core. Granted, you do get a couple turns to soften up the army because you've got great range, plus you've got a great feat that also softens up the army if they want to take a chance. So I think that that is a... Those little knickknacks are really, really good for being able to get, you know, in place. Plus, I think the addition of her mobility, like I said, I jumped into a Eunice of Tixis. I would have killed the entire Eunice of Tixis, maybe even more Mechanithralls. So she alone was about to wipe off an entire unit and then still have her feet going. So I think that that's really powerful for her to be able to take care of infantry like that.
I think a caster as good as she is in melee with 7 focus is actually far more devastating than you give them credit for.
Oh, absolutely. POW 13s are nothing to sneeze at, for sure.
You know, most melee warcasters are more around the 6 range. Vlad is an exception, but, like, you look at Fiora, look at the Butcher, look at Balder. Those guys are all 6s.
Or 5s, even. You know?
Yeah, there are 5s as well. But, yeah, giving her a 7 is actually just a little bit... that's another punch to the face.
It really is, and the free upkeep of the Avatar of Slaughter on her, if you want to, if you're you know, ready to get into it. I mean, mat 8, POW 13s, move and make additional attacks. It's those additional attacks really that are really going to get it. Plus, it's movement. I mean, you could daisy chain your way through a choir to get to a warcaster if you need to. So,
and if you think about it, until Zarkova came out, she was their arcane warcaster.
Yeah,
she was their big spellcaster. Now Zarkova is the one who really.
She's still the only one with an arc node.
It's well, true. Yeah, but
Zarkova can extend her range.
She can extend her range. She can do
cast more spells per turn.
Yeah,
having Razorwind, I think, is just a huge deal for Zarkova because
or a zero cost influence.
That too. My biggest problem with her is Gallus is her only offensive spell. and I really want like a Z Zot spell. A Zot spell on her would be really devastating. To run the Arc Node and then Zot that one solo that you need to kill.
Well, it just occurred to me that Gallows doesn't really stack with her feet anymore. You used to be able to get that extra pal 14, and now it's only whenever they end their movement.
Yeah, the feet definitely hurt. But yeah, I think that the best way to destroy a list like this is to bring a bunch of heavy hitters up and just pressure. Yeah, I can hold off a small amount with, 5-inch AoE, but it's not going to contain everyone.
Gallows does still stack with Murder of Crows, though. You can pull them into that.
Mm.
It's not as big of a hit, though.
Sure, sure. But at least it's, multiple times a game possible, yeah.
Because it's a POW 13 from Gallows and a POW 8. So if it's like a solo with me.
Yeah, what's
boxes,
the 13 not going to kill? It's probably you're hoping for the finishing roll on some solo.
How many times have you left errors with one, or something like that?
That would be the way to do it. Of course, that's also like how much is your focus? Six of it?
Sometimes you got to kill probably, errors.
If you have that Murder Curse for free.
Yesterday, first turn, Matt trampled up with Megalith and was within stealth of a Mage Hunter Assassin.
Mm-hmm.
He boosted to hit with a Stone Spikes hit, and then he just rolled two dice, and he didn't kill her.
That's what happened.
That sucks. That's Snake Eyes, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that is. So, I think that her spells are, she's not like the typical, a lot of people like to say that she's Crixian in some ways, but I think she's Crixian in the tricky way, not necessarily the powerful spellcasting way, because Gallows is really her only offensive attack.
Well, she's more defined as a circle-ish warcaster than she is a Crixian warcaster.
Yeah, I would say
and that definitely ties into her fluff.
Yeah, there's always a lot of overlap there. The Culling of Souls, for example, is a big Crixian iconic kind of thing, but obviously it's not related to Crix.
And I think that comparison started when she first came out because the circle wasn't really around then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You
also have her and Asphyxius tied to the circle, and so that, that's another little link.
Right.
And then she slaps Kruger around. And
now, Kruger became her bitch.
Pretty much.
That'll be his third incarnation. Kruger, the old witch's bitch.
Bitch of the old witch.
Kruger, bitch of the witch.
Kruger, bitch of the motherland.
Nice. And then Augury, that's another thing we didn't mention, how awesome that is. I mean, you can slap Wield Secrets on a Jack and charge through a forest.
Yeah.
Or I usually keep it on my
It lets her battle group ignore forests for line of sight.
And if you're going to put out your free forest with tier 4 anyway, you can really set that up beforehand and take advantage of it.
20 inches is not as far as you think, though. It's only 10 inches in front, and it's a 4-inch forest, so the back end of it is,
your AD line.
The front of your AD line, so. Yeah. It's not that huge, but like I said, it's really great for keeping her in Prowl wherever you really like.
Well, and if you have a board that's kind of sparse on terrain, you can be like, oh, look, now I have a little bit of cover coming up.
I'll tell you a problem that I've had recently at tournaments, and it may just be our press gangers around here, but they fear putting something in the middle of the board, which I kind of understand, but at the same time, it's supposed to be random. Like, I would really love to have a take a board and, cut off the deployment zones and make zones like 1, 2, 3, 4, like 4x4 square. Okay. So divide the play area into 16 squares and then have a random terrain generator because I feel like
they have one online.
Yeah. Somebody did that on the big board.
Someone built one.
Well, I feel like every time I play a tournament, it's always like wall, then like things around the side. And it's just this middle. And I understand with the new steamroller scenarios, it's really tough to, have terrain in the way and be measuring distances and stuff, but that's life, You shouldn't penalize some armies like...
How big's a mosh pit now?
Ooh, I don't know.
Was it? I don't remember.
14? 12? I don't know.
I think it's 14.
But
there's a misprint.
They made it bigger?
No, it was 14.
It's 7-inch.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 7-inch diameter sounds right. But I just think that some armies have a bonus, and you should not take that away by having no rough terrain. Like being trolls, I would love it when there's a giant open field in the middle of the board, but that's not always how it is. That's not where we should always play. Sometimes there's a house in the middle of the mosh pit, and that sucks, but that's how it should be, in my opinion.
Houses are different from like having a forest that's in the mosh pit, because a house, you can't get around that. It depending on the size of the house, you may not be able, models may not be able to get into the mosh pit.
It becomes assassins.
Might be difficult.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a... Well, now the mosh pit in particular, that's a good point.
I mean, that's one scenario, but I get what you're saying, though.
It's difficult, and...
I want to see more water, more rivers, more big obstructions.
Definitely more
impassable terrain. I want to see a lot of... this isn't defined in the rulebook kind of thing. I want to see, like, chasms. there was in one of the old Call to Arms leagues, there's a thing, chasms were a big thing.
Yeah, you
push guys into and you couldn't fly over it, but you know.
I still have the two terrain pieces.
Yeah. It was something different. And I think they needed to define more of those things in the rule book or, you know, in the supplement or something. Just to make it more interesting.
There is I do have to give GW just a little bit of credit. They do have some supplements that they've come out with. One that's like rules for fighting in cities.
Mm-hmm.
I think PP could learn a little bit from that and maybe do a supplement that was, you know, fighting in cities or fighting in, you know, different battlefield types. Okay, we're fighting in the cold north of Kador, so there's different, you know, snow drifts, things like that.
Well, the thing is, they have all those too. They have all those in their the previous few Call to Arms leagues.
Mm-hmm.
They have rules for thick snowdrifts. They have rules for ice-covered rivers.
But maybe like a nice publication. I mean, I know that
something that you could actually officially use.
Some kind of campaign book. Throw some new art. It doesn't have to be art. It could be these pictures of games in progress or whatever.
Give Kador a new jack. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
All that kind of stuff. Sounds good.
It's called the Vigilant.
The Vigilant. Dude, I would take it.
If we fight on a frozen river, can I use my incinerators to burn through the ice and sink your stuff?
We have rules for that.
Because then they'd be useful.
They stick their swords in the ice.
Steam starts coming up.
They cut like a giant deathjack shape.
No, it's like they cut.
And then the deathjack walks out. He looks around and then falls through. Like
he holds up the sign, says help, and then falls.
Oh, the deathjack.
Even though it's water, you got to do the sound effect from Wile E. Coyote falling.
And the little small puff of smoke.
I think another weakness of the army, to go back to the army, is getting on Old Witch. The tricksy assassin kind of casters that can move and overrun and, you know, Strakov. But just anyone like a Strakov or Morton Abra who can really bend. I wouldn't say Legion as much. People who can really bend melee attacks. Is going to be really, really, really strong against this list. Because if you can get on Old Witch, she's fairly easy to kill. 15, 14. You don't always upkeep Iron Flesh on yourself. Another really funny strength would be a bunch of Mage Hunters would really just light her up. The Strike Force.
Mm-hmm.
They would do a number on her because I think that they ignore Iron Flesh, they ignore Focus, and they ignore Stealth. So, no, they don't ignore Stealth. Never mind.
Right.
But anyways, I don't know, just if there's something like Mage Shite, for example, is going to be really helpful.
Yep.
Something that can really help mitigate that stealth.
Arcane Precision.
Yeah, it's a joke. Ask the Lord of the Feast how that turns out. He was like, Arcane Precision, Gun Mage, and the Lord of the Feast was like, And then
he's armor 17.
Kill, 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 flip the bird, kill, kill, kill.
Flip the bird, that's great.
Nice, I'll start using that.
Kill the flip the bird is the dumbest.
That's almost as good as me saying when I would play the Draken, I'd be like, now my horse kicks you in the face.
Wanna wrap it?
Wrap it.
Ship it.
Wrap it.
There you go.
See ya.
See ya, buddy.
See ya, guys.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2010 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided by Joshua Salter. Iron Agenda is affiliated with Spooky Outhouse Productions. For more podcasts, visit www.spookyouthouse.com.